Okay, hi everyone and welcome. This is John Gabriel, and this is the core lesson number four for the New You in the New Year 5-week transformational program. This week we're going to be talking about exercise, GM style, and activating what we call the get fit or get eaten, or the get thin or get eaten adaptation. So, why are we talking about exercise now? Why didn't we talk about exercise right away, right from the beginning? Well, there's a reason why we're talking about exercise now in week four, and that is that I wanted to spend a couple of weeks addressing the different stresses that activate your fat programs. And the reason is because when your fat programs are on, you're going to be tired. Now, if you remember, the fat programs are an adaptation designed to conserve energy, conserve fat, and to add to fat stores. And it's a survival adaptation that we have that helped keep us alive thousands of years ago when we were living outdoors and there were famines and cold weather. And we talked about all that. But now, in today's world, we have other stresses, which we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, which can activate the fat programs. Being in a nutritional famine, having digestive issues, eating processed foods that elevate your insulin levels and leptin levels so that you get leptin and insulin resistance, having chronic low-grade stress or having emotional trauma, all of these things can activate the fat programs and, in a sense, trick your body into wanting to store fat. Now, when that happens, that one of the things that's going to happen is that your metabolism is going to slow down. Remember what Dr. Rosedale talked about, that when you're leptin resistant, your thyroid doesn't function as well, because one of the things that leptin does is it signals to the brain to signal to the thyroid to start producing more T4 hormone, which then gets converted into T3, which activates your metabolism. When your fat programs are on and you become leptin resistant, that message that from the brain to the thyroid doesn't happen. A lot of times people focus on the thyroid as the problem. In reality, it's the signaling from the brain or the hypothalamus to the thyroid that's the problem, and that signaling is blocked due to leptin resistance, and that leptin resistance is a result of your fat programs being activated. So typically, when your fat programs are activated, you are tired. Don't want to burn calories. You're in a conservation mode. And so you develop this feeling like you hate exercise. And so when you're in that situation where you're chronically overstressed and you're exhausted all the time, to try to push through it with exercise can be a burden on your system that can overtax your system that can cause more stress. So I wanted to spend a few weeks focusing on reducing these physical and emotional stresses that can activate your fat programs so that you can have more energy. Because what'll happen is once those fat programs are being addressed, once the stresses are being addressed and the signaling is working more properly between the brain and the thyroid, you are going to have more energy. And so when you have more energy, you're going to be more able to exercise. But an important point here is that you may or may not be at this point at a stage where you're ready to start exercising. Just because we've been talking about this for 3 weeks doesn't mean your digestion's healed, doesn't mean your emotional trauma's been solved, doesn't mean you've been able to totally eliminate or manage the chronic stresses in your life. Doesn't mean necessarily that you're not eating foods that are causing stresses that are activating your fat programs. It may or may not be the case that your fat programs are being turned off, but sometime, if you continue to follow the action steps, sometime over the next months, 2 months to 3 months, your fat programs will be turned off and you will have more energy, and that's the time to exercise, because that can really accelerate the process. So it may still not be the time for you to exercise. It may or may not be. So as I'm talking about the action steps for this week and the concepts of exercise, don't feel tense or stressed or worried that you have to start exercising if you're not ready to. I want you to be ready to exercise, and when that happens, I want you to do it the right way. So with that in mind, let's talk about the right way to exercise. So here's the thing about exercising GM style, or the GM theories for exercise. And that is that exercise traditionally is viewed as a calorie-burning tool. Now, if you take the old-fashioned paradigm of calories in, calories out, then you measure how many calories you've eaten, you try to control that, and then you burn a lot of calories, you try through exercise, you try to add that up and create some sort of equation that yields weight loss. But we don't look at it that way. We don't look at weight loss as a calories in, calories out equation. We look at weight loss as a hormonal equation, and we try to create a proper hormonal environment. And when you do exercise correctly, you can create a proper hormonal environment, not just burning calories. And I have to tell you that when I was trying to exercise the wrong way, when I was dieting, I mean, things were just weren't working for me back in New York when I was over 200 pounds overweight. I used to sit on the stationary bike and I'd ride it for an hour and I'd burn, 300 calories. And I think to myself, 300 calories, that's just nothing. Why bother? Why not just not eat a bagel, one less bagel or something like that, or one less sandwich, and the calories in, calories out equation should be fine. But the reality is, exercise done right is not a calorie burning tool. That's not the benefit of it. The benefit of it is that it creates a proper hormonal environment that gets your body to want to be thin. And that is everything that we're doing in the Gabriel Method is focused on getting your body to want to be thin, not on forcing you to lose weight, not on managing calories and income and calories in and calories out. None of those things, getting your body to want to be thin. So I want to focus on exercise in a different way. The same way we look at food differently, I want to look at exercise differently. Exercise, if done right, is a calorie, is a it creates a hormonal shift in your body. So when we talked about originally, we talked about the fat programs. Originally, we talked about how when we were outdoors, that fat was a form of protection. But there were and the reason it was a form of protection is if you were cold and you didn't have enough to eat, the fat could help keep you alive. But there were other environments where fat actually was dangerous, and Dr. Rosedale talks about this too in his talk. So once again, if you can listen to that, it's a great talk. He talks about how being fat is actually can be dangerous. If you're living outdoors in an environment, which we lived in thousands of years ago, where it's warm all the time, so you don't need fat to keep you warm. And there's plenty of food, so you don't need fat to for energy reserves. There's no need for fat, and fat can be dangerous because fat, if you're walking around all day, if you're active all day, it's a stress on the system. So their body, if your fat programs are not on, your body does not want fat on your body. And if you look at cultures where the climate's warm and there's plenty of food, most indigenous species are not fat if they're eating an indigenous diet, and they're eating all you can eat, and it's because fat is actually dangerous to you if you're an active person living outdoors, and you have to go from maybe you might walk 10 miles a day going from one place to another. And let's take it even a step further. So imagine you're in an environment thousands of years ago where you were warm all the time, so you didn't need fat to keep you warm, so there wasn't that stress, where there was plenty of food, so you didn't need fat for energy, so there's no reason to have fat, you were active, and so it was actually a stress, but let's to have excess weight, so your body didn't want excess weight, but let's take it a step further. Let's imagine you were living outdoors thousands of years ago, and there was also predators chasing you. So every once in a while, a tiger would come into the village and start chasing you, and if you look at this picture here, this guy has no chance of escaping this tiger. Okay, this tiger is seconds away from killing this person if it was really chasing him that way. And the reality is, you can't outrun a tiger if a tiger's chasing you. And tigers did chase us. So the question is, how did we survive tigers chasing us thousands of years ago when we can't outrun a tiger? Nobody can outrun a tiger. So how did we live? Well, the answer is you don't have to be faster than a tiger to avoid being attacked, to avoid being killed if a tiger is chasing you. You just have to be faster than the guy running next to you. That's all you have to do is you have to be faster than the guy running next to you. And what that means is that thousands of years ago, and it's a cruel dog-eat-dog world when you think about how we survived. Obviously, there's lots of cruelty in the world we have now in very different ways, but in thousands of years ago, the way we survived being attacked from a tiger is being faster than the guy next to us, which means that you have to be thinner and you have to be fitter. That is, if you're not thin and you're not fit, you're dead. It was the heavy set, slower people that got killed by the tiger. The tiger weeded out the unfit people in the gene pool. So it was only the fit people that survived. And those fit people passed on their genes of being fit. So just the way we have fat genes, and everyone's so focused on this from a genetic standpoint, we've got fit genes. In an environment where there's tigers chasing you, it's only the fit people that survive. Now, if you were running away from a tiger, it's a different stress than a famine. It causes different chemistry than a famine. So let's look at the stress of a famine. So the stress of a famine is what's known as a chronic low-grade inflammatory stress. Chronic low-grade. Chronic means that it's always there. Low-grade means that it's always there in small amounts. Chronic low-grade. That's the type of stress that causes an inflammatory response, that causes leptin and insulin resistance, that activates the fat programs and turns your body into a fat storage machine. But running away from a tiger is not a chronic low-grade stress. It's not chronic because it's not happening all the time. It's not low-grade because it's run or die, 30 seconds, that's it, life's over. That's called an acute stress. A periodic acute stress. And it's the periodic acute stresses that do the exact opposite in our blood chemistry. It actually makes our body more sensitive to leptin. It reverses leptin resistance so that our body can say, hold on here, we don't want any fat on our body. Let's do all the things that we can to become as fit as possible. So you reverse leptin resistance, you become sensitive to leptin, and different metabolic changes happen. Your metabolism speeds up. Why? Because your brain starts sending a signal to your thyroid because it's hearing leptin again and it's responding to leptin. So your brain is sending a signal to your thyroid to speed up. Your brain becomes very, very efficient. Very, very sensitive to the hormones that tell you that you're full. Leptin is a hormone that tells you you're satiated, you're full, you've had enough. So you're not that hungry anymore. Your tongue becomes more sensitive to sweet foods, so you crave healthier foods and not sweet foods. You become more efficient at burning fat. You reverse insulin resistance, which you talked a lot about, and your body goes into fat burning mode. It becomes very efficient at burning fat. Not because you've burned calories during the exercise, because running for 30 seconds does not burn many calories. It burns a couple of calories, that's it. But running away from a tiger for 30 seconds or 10 seconds where it's life or death creates a hormonal shift in your body. And remember, everything that we're doing is about hormones, not calories. Hormones and not calories. It creates a hormonal shift in your body that gets your body to want to be thin. And when you have this hormonal shift, everything happens easy and natural. So we call this hormonal shift, we call that stress the get thin or get eaten adaptation. So the get thin or get eaten adaptation makes a lot of sense to call it that because that's what it is. It's an adaptation response that got your body to want to be thin by causing a stress that makes your body think that if you're not thin, you are dead. So it reverses all the bad chemistry. So what we want to do with exercise is not burn calories, is not sit on a treadmill an hour a day, 7 days a week, like some experts will tell you to do. It's none of those things. It's simply to activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation. Now, to activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation, you don't have to do exercise a lot. 30 or 40 seconds of exercise done the right way will create an internal shift in your chemistry that will cause your body to activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation. So before we start to get into some sort of examples of exercises that can activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation, I might bring Denele in and answer some questions. So if you have any questions, you can post them in the chat box. And we can try to answer them for you. So, Aaron, if we could bring Den in, we'll start answering some questions.
Hi, John.
Hi, Den.
Hi, John. Hi. Okay, Stephanie asks, I am having significant issues with pain. I've had hip and knee pain for about 10 years, which I believe is associated with emotional issues. I've been trying to visualize the release of the pain with the visualizations and hoping that my pain is resolved soon as I have a difficult time exercising because of the pain. It is exhausting just to work and do household chores. I have been working on the visualization since January the 7th, but it almost seems to be worse. What visualizations do you recommend that I do, or is there one specifically for pain that I haven't seen? And how is this affecting my exercise?
I think that it's great that you understand the relationship between emotional stress and physical pain. That's a huge, huge leap forward. Most people do not understand that. But my experience now doing this for 10 years is there is a very much direct correlation between unidentifiable or untargetable chronic pain and emotional stress. That is things like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and just chronic aches and pains that you can't trace to any specific physical traumatic incident is usually the result of a emotional stress. So I think that it's fabulous that you understand that. You may need some additional emotional work, like cellular release work, tapping, in addition to the visualizations. The reason why you may be experiencing more pain is because the visualizations are touching on whatever the emotional trauma was, and it's an emotional trauma. The way it works, when you start working through emotional trauma, it's a little bit like clearing the gutters out. If you in your house, if you haven't cleared the gutters out for a year or two, what happens is you stick your hand in and there's all this anaerobic waste and this smell and this mud and this gunk, and then you clean it and then you clean it out, and then the water starts flowing clearly. It's the same thing with emotional trauma. When you start unleashing it, stick get your hands in and start moving it around, all this gunk is moving around your body. It can create aches and pain and exhaustion. The physical exhaustion that you have also is probably the result of the emotional trauma. So I would continue to do the visualizations, the safe and protected, and the visualizations that you're doing, but I would also look to get some other help, like cellular release work or tapping to help work through the emotional issues. Don't worry about exercising just yet. Give yourself a good month or two. You're the exact candidate that I was talking about in the beginning of this webinar that's not yet ready to start exercising. It's not going to help you until you work through the emotional trauma that's causing the exhaustion in your body. So spend a month or two really working through the emotional trauma, and then once you start feeling more of a spring in your step, that's when you can do the exercise.
Okay? Thanks, John. Megan asks, I was wondering why our minds and bodies haven't updated since thousands of years ago. Sorry if this seems like a silly question, but I'm willing to go with this theory, and I'm just wondering.
There's no reason for our minds and bodies to update. That's why. If you understand, if you understand how our bodies evolved for survival reasons. So when we're living in the world today, we are maladapted to the world that we're living in the sense that we might be overweight, we might be chronically exhausted, we might have aches and pains, we might have stresses, we might have all these different things, but we're still procreating, we're still passing on our genes. The way our bodies evolved to survival threats is that the things that we're maladapted for, the people that are maladapted, and the adaptations that no longer suit us, have to make it so that we're no longer reproducing in order for them to be weeded out of the gene pool. So all of our maladaptions that we have are not getting weeded out of the gene pool because we're still reproducing. We can be overweight and reproduce, we can be tired and reproduce, we can be stressed out and reproduce, we can be chronically in pain, we can have all kinds of mental and emotional problems, and we can still reproduce. So there's nothing in our environment right now, no selective pressure, as it's called, that's forcing our bodies to adapt to the environment in a healthier way, as long as we're still able to procreate. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for that reason, we're going to continue. For that reason, we're going to continue to have our maladaptions as long as we're still procreating. Now, an interesting thing is that our food chain is getting so damaged right now through pesticides and what's called endocrine disruptors, and other toxins that the estrogen levels of most men are getting to the point where their sperm count is so low that they can't reproduce, which is in a sense a selective pressure that can cause some changes. So it's only the males that are eating a healthier diet that are not having endocrine disruptors that are having a higher sperm count are going to be the ones that reproduce. So there is a selective pressure over time toward being healthier that's only just happening now. It hasn't happened in the last couple of thousand years. It's only just happening now. And it's possible that in the next 100 or 200 years there will be adaptations. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, John. Anita asks, can you do too much exercise? I find exercise a good stress relief.
Yes, you can do too much exercise. We will talk about that in this very, very core lesson. We're going to talk about it. Doing too much exercise is worse than doing no exercise at all, because when you do too much exercise, you overtrain. It becomes a chronic stress, and as we know, certain chronic stresses can actually make you gain weight. Overtraining can make you gain weight. So yes, you can do too much exercise, and we will talk about that.
Okay, thanks, John. Anne asks, is interval aerobic training the proper kind of exercise?
Interval aerobic training is a really good type of training, and we're going to talk about that too. Yes?
Okay. Melissa asks a question that's not really fitness related, but I thought it might be an opportunity to help anyone else who has this question. With this program, we get one personal one-on-one call with you. How do we schedule this?
Yeah, just email help@thegabrielmethod.com.
Thanks, John. And Melissa also asks, at the beginning of this program, I was seeing amazing results. Now it seems that the visualizations and different therapies are not working as well. Why is this?
Yeah, so losing weight this way is not a straight line process. It's an evolution. It works over time. So it's not like a diet where you try to lose a pound a day for 40 days and then you try to keep it off. It's not like that. What'll happen is you'll get some really good results, and then there'll be a plateau for a while. But it's not a plateau where you're fighting cravings. It's just a plateau where your body's getting used to the new weight and readjusting on a hormonal level, and then you have another breakthrough. So the weight typically falls off in quantum leaps, not in a straight line type of fashion. Okay, Dan, I might go back to the webinar, and then if you could send me a text as we're going, if we have more questions and if I need to take a break and start answering questions, just keep me posted, okay?
Okay, will do. Thanks, John.
All right, thanks. So let's talk about some exercises that will activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation. So the key here is those moments when you're running away from a tiger. That's really what it comes down to. And it doesn't have to be running away from a tiger, but it's those 10 to 20 seconds when you're moving as fast as you can. And by the way, for any exercise that you're doing, please get your doctor's approval. Everybody's at a different fitness level, so and some people can run, some people can walk, some people can bike. Just make it your own, but incorporate these principles. So for example, if you're used to doing a 10 to 20 minute walk on a regular basis, like that's your thing, don't do the type of walk where you're doing like a straight line turbo walk. You know those people that do that turbo walk where they're walking as fast as they can, because if you were walking in the Sierra and in the plains in Africa, and you were walking, you would just be walking leisurely, and then if a lion came out and started chasing you, you wouldn't do a 40-minute power walk. You would do 10, as I said, 10, 20 seconds of life or death. So it's the 10, 20 seconds of life or death that is what we care about here. It's not the power walk, and it's not the extra 100 calories that you've burned by pushing yourself harder for that 10 minutes. It's the 10 to 20 seconds. So walk leisurely for your walk, but then every once in a while for just 10 seconds, move as fast as you can. And then when you're moving as fast as you can, visualize. There's different things you can visualize. You can visualize you're being chased by a predator if it's not too stressful. Some people do not like doing that. I do not blame them. Don't do it if you don't like that. You can visualize that your best friend's chasing you. You can visualize that you're chasing your best friend. You can visualize that you're chasing a tiger. Just visualize something, and also visualize that you're in your most ideal shape for those 10 seconds. So incorporate visualization into the 10-second, 20-second movement. And the reason why you want to incorporate visualization into the 10, 20-second movement is because your mind doesn't know the difference between a real and imagined experience. They've done tests with Olympic athletes where Olympic athletes visualize their ideal sport, and the same types of neurons and nerves get fired in the same coordinated sequences that they were actually doing the sport. Our brains do not know the difference between a real experience and an imagined experience. And so when you're visualizing, you're reinforcing that the reason why you're moving so fast is to chase something, to run away from something, to be in your most perfect ideal shape. That's the reason you're moving so fast. And so you're explaining to your body that you're moving fast to activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation. That's what you want to do with your exercise. So whatever exercise you do, the important thing is somewhere along the line, there's that 10, 20 seconds. Even if you're walking fast, or a really good one if you live near the ocean, because it is to be in water that's about 3/4 up your to your on your thigh, and do the sprints in the water in the at that level, because it's less compression on your joints. Another one is walking or running uphill, less compression on your joints. So you want to do it in a way that has less compression. And another way to run, which I discovered is really good, is if you're pushing either a pram, a baby carriage, or a shopping cart, or one of those luggage carts that you get on the plane, you keep your hands on that, you put some weight on it, like some luggage on it, you keep your hands on it, and you run, and it's low compression. So you want to do it in a way that doesn't bother your joints, but you want to have that 10, 20 seconds of movement. You want to do visualization while you're doing it. And the way I discovered this, I actually discovered this by accident, was one day I was biking. This was when I was 3/4 into my weight loss. I had probably lost about 170 pounds, something like that. And I was biking up a hill in this route that I used to do. I was thinking, you know, I really need something to give my weight loss a boost, because I was in that place where I felt like I was in that plateau that I talk about for a good couple of months, and I wanted something to take my weight loss to the next level. As soon as I had that thought, a dog came out of nowhere and started chasing me, and this dog was just millimeters away from taking out my Achilles tendon. And so I stood up and I started sprinting as fast as I could up the hill. I was moving as fast as I could, trying not to get bitten, quite frankly. Well, let me tell you, the next 2 weeks, the weight just fell off my body. It just literally fell off my body, and I couldn't figure out why the weight fell off my body. And it wasn't until I made the connection that it was this event that caused this massive shift in my set point, that my body wanted to be thinner to avoid being attacked by that dog, that I started doing visualizations. Whenever I got to that same place in the bike ride, I would stand up, I would imagine I was being chased by that dog, and that worked really, really well. Eventually, I went through a period where I didn't exercise at all, and I just imagined that I was on that bike ride being chased by that dog, and that worked well too. Because again, your body doesn't know the difference between a real and imagined experience, and it's not about the calories that I burned during the bike ride, but the hormonal shift, and just doing that visualization can create a hormonal shift. So visualization can be an extremely powerful tool for activating this get thin or get eaten adaptation. Now the question is, how often should I exercise? Well, once again, when you look at exercise as a calorie-burning tool, well, then most standard nutritionists and expert physiologists, exercise physiologists, are going to say to you, you need to exercise an hour a day, 7 days a week, to burn X number of calories, so that you can eat a 2,000-calorie diet or whatever it is you're supposed to eat. But the reality is, when you're doing exercise to create a hormonal shift in your body, you don't have to do it that often. You only have to do it a couple of times a week, and in fact, if you do it too much, you will create a chronic stress that will work against you, which we are going to talk about in a little while. But if you look at, for example, if you look at sprinters versus marathon runners, now obviously they're both very thin, but sprinters have less body fat on them than marathon runners, and sprinters sprint for 10 seconds at a time, where for off and on for maybe a half hour or something like that in their training, whereas marathon runners might run 10 miles or 20 kilometers a day every day, and they're still carrying more body fat. So it's not about the duration of it. What you want is to invoke the get thin or get eaten adaptation, and that's done by the short 10-second spurts, and you do it a couple of times a week. And so, as we just talked about, if you exercise too much, then you can activate this get thin or get eaten adaptation. So exercising too much turns a good stress into a bad stress. There have been studies that they did a study, I think it was the University of Colorado in Denver, with cross-country skiers, where they kept pushing them to go further and further in their exercise routine more times a week and for longer. And in the beginning, they were getting into better and better shape. And they got to a certain point where they were tired all the time. They were exhausted, they didn't want to do the exercise, and they started to actually gain weight. And the reason they started to gain weight is because the stress turned into a chronic stress, and that chronic stress caused leptin and insulin resistance, caused them to gain weight. So you don't want a chronic stress. What you want is an acute stress. And acute stresses are just really short, really quickly, and you just do them periodically. So, and when you do it too much, basically, you're doing what's called overtraining, which elevates your cortisol levels and activates your fat programs. So if you do have questions, let me know. Dan, send me a text. Let me know where we are with questions. Just put them in the chat box, and I'll be happy to answer them as we're going along. We always like to stay on top of questions, and I know that we've been flooded with questions over the last 4 weeks, and we do our best to try to answer them. Sometimes it takes us a couple of days. I apologize for that, but the volume of questions is amazing, and the questions are great, great questions. We can't just give them a boilerplate answer. So we do our best to get through every one of them. Now, we've got about 10 questions right now, so I will bring Dan back in. Before we start getting a little bit further into exercise routines, I'll bring Dan back in, and we'll answer some of the questions that are happening on the chat box right now.
Thanks, John. I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Kay says, my question is about shifting my set point. I'm about 5'3" tall and currently weigh around 140 pounds. I want to be lean and have about 8 to 10 kilos of fat to strip. My set point has been the same for 8 years. Occasionally I drop a couple of kilos, but I cannot keep it off. I feel trapped and clearly need to do something different. I train 6 days a week and eat clean. Please let help me shift the flab, as I feel trapped by it.
The first thing I would say is training 6 days a week is too much. So if you want to shift your set point, you've got to make your body understand that you need to be thin in order to survive. Exercising 6 days a week, it's very hard to keep the intensity up that you would need to keep up in order to activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation. So what I would suggest you do is you shift to exercising 3 days a week, 4 days a week max. You can exercise the same amount, but you have to have rest days. So what you can do is you can exercise 6 times during the week if you want to exercise that much. But only do it on 3 days a week or 4 days a week. I would suggest 3 days a week and have 2 exercise sessions. If you do that, you will have 48 hours in between to recuperate, and then plus you'll have a whole weekend. Like if you exercise Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you have a whole weekend to recuperate. I find with myself now, I'm 50 years old now, I need minimum of 48 hours. Typically, I need 64 hours or 62 hours or 3 days in between rest, in between exercise. So I will exercise. When I exercise, I have lots of energy to exercise because I'm really rested and ready, and I hit it hard. I don't necessarily exercise long periods of time, but I hit it hard. I've got lots of energy, and I recover. And it takes me now two and now 3 days to recover from exercising. And what's happening during that recovery period is your muscles fibers are regenerating because exercise breaks down muscle fibers, and your cells are becoming more sensitive to leptin and insulin, and your body is rejuvenating and adapting to the stress, and it's an acute stress, not a chronic stress. I personally could not survive and stay fit exercising 6 days a week. I would be exhausted. And I can almost guarantee you that my set point would shift toward gaining weight. I would gain maybe 5 or 10 pounds or whatever. I don't know, but I wouldn't do it. But my set point would shift the other way. So if you want to shift your set point, exercise 3 days a week or 4 at the most. Do those 6 exercise sessions. Just do them on 3 days. That will shift your set point. Use the visualization. Incorporate the intensity training that we're talking about. And do the visualization during the intensity training, that will shift your set point.
Thanks, okay, John.
Dan? Dan, before you go any further, I want to talk about the set point idea. So the set point idea, for people that are wondering what we're talking about, the set point idea is the idea that your body has a specific weight that it wants to be. And if you go below that weight, you'll get real hungry and gain weight. And if you go above that weight, you won't be that hungry and you'll lose weight. And the whole system of losing weight that we're doing with the Gabriel Method is by shifting your set point. So by eliminating the stresses that make your set point heavier and by imposing stresses that make your set point lighter, you're shifting your set point toward being thinner. And that's really what we're talking about, is shifting your set point. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thanks. Megan asks, you said before that you know, long distance is not the right thing to do, but what happens if you enjoy long distance running and biking and find it a source of stress release?
If you enjoy exercise and you enjoy long bike rides, by all means do them. You'll know when you're exercising too much because you won't enjoy it. So when you're overtraining, there's a built-in mechanism that tells you because you're tired and you're not looking forward to your exercise sessions. And then when you go out on your bike, you feel like your legs are lead and there's nothing in them. And if you're forcing yourself in that instance, you're overtraining. But if you've got lots of energy for long bike rides and you love it, and sometimes I do that too, just for the joy of it, by all means do it.
Okay,
but incorporate the periodic intensity, like when you're going up a hill, stand up and sprint and imagine you're chasing something or being chased.
Jean asks, I have chronic pain from peripheral neuropathy and I'm on tramadol 600 milligrams per day. Doctors don't expect it to get better at all. My goal is to prevent it from getting worse, but this is very stressful. Nonetheless, I have to deal with it. Do you have suggestions? I do swim once or twice a week.
Yeah, from an exercise standpoint, just do what you can do. Like yoga might be really nice, qigong, and swimming. Those are really, really good things to do. In general, all of the stress reduction types of things that we talk about, and the digestion things, and eating healthier, all those things will help you tremendously. But from an exercise standpoint, just do what you can do.
Okay. Melissa's responded to, I asked a question, her question earlier on, saying at the beginning of this program she was seeing amazing results, now that it just doesn't seem to be working as well. Her response is, I wasn't talking about weight loss, I think I might have actually gained, I'm talking about patience and staying calm. She's obviously having issues with that this week.
So my guess is we did a lot of emotional work last week, and that can trigger you. So there's a good chance that the visualizations that you're doing right now and the emotional work might be triggering some stresses and some emotions that are coming up in your system right now that might cause you to be kind of anxious. That's happened to a fair amount of people.
Okay, thanks. Jean's actually made a comment when you mentioned running in water up to your thighs. She's actually said you can jog in deep water, which is great. You wear a waistband to keep you up, and it feels fantastic.
Yeah. Now, I think running in water is better than swimming in water for activating the get thin or get eaten adaptation for a really subtle reason. I'll just talk about this. And that is that when you are running, or rather when you're swimming, keep in mind, our bodies are always trying to adapt to our environment. So when you're swimming, you can swim really fast, and it's great exercise, and you can activate that primal response. But swimming in general, you're most effective swimming when you have an extra layer of fat on your body, because it helps keep you more buoyant. So in general, when you're in water, your body understands this. Our bodies are brilliant in terms of understanding stresses and keeping us and surviving stresses. And there's still going to be, there's a selective advantage for having an extra layer of fat on you to keep you more buoyant. So swimming, when you're floating swimming, is probably less effective than running swimming. So when you're running swimming, your feet are on the ground and you're not needing to float and you don't need that extra layer of fat. It's a real subtle point, but I've had other people make the comment too that they get more results from running type swim in swimming than actually swimming. Swimming in water. Okay.
Thanks. Megan says, I had a rather bad fall. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me, John?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Megan says, I had a rather bad fall a month ago onto concrete, and my lower right leg is still swollen. I can't get a regular shoe on, and I'm trying to do minimal chores. I have horses. I was thinking I should start again with my incline treadmill, but I have no desire to do so, suffering from a bit of depression. Am I in the category of don't exercise yet, or should I give myself a push?
Yeah, don't exercise yet. Give yourself a little bit of time to recover. And when you do, try maybe a stationary bike or something like that. That might be the easiest thing on you.
Okay, thank you. And Melissa says, with your weight falling off your body, how did you not get saggy skin? I thought your recommendation for not getting baggy skin is losing weight gradually. This is interesting to me.
Yeah, so my weight would fall off quickly, periodically. So I didn't lose 200 pounds quickly. I lost 200 pounds over a 2.5 year period, but I could lose 50 pounds within a couple of couple of months. And when I did that, the skin was a little bit saggy, but what would happen is it would start to tighten up, especially when I did detoxification work and stress reduction work. And as I started eating healthier and healthier, my skin just got more and more elastic. I also did visualization and imagined my skin getting really, really tight and firm and toned. And doing all those things combined, my skin really did a great job of healing from an elasticity standpoint.
Okay, thank you. Pat says, once fit like you, how often should you exercise?
Yeah, so that's a really, really individual type of question. There's no one-size-fits-all answer. I find as a general rule of thumb, I'll exercise on average 2 to 3 times a week for 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And but that's just real, real general. But I will go weeks without exercising, and then I'll go other times when I'm just very, very active. And you'll find the same thing. You'll fit in. You'll find a rhythm. You'll know when you need to exercise more or less. You'll know when you're overtraining or pushing yourself too hard. You'll know when you have to do a little bit more. It's really very individual.
It's when you lose enthusiasm for what you're doing as well, isn't it?
Well, that's an indication. You know, that's an indication that either some stress is activating your fat programs or you're overtraining, one or the other. But I find sometimes, I can't tell you how many times I've gone out for a bike ride, and as soon as I start pedaling, my legs feel like lead, and I go, no, my legs need to recover. They're still sore. And so I give it an extra day or two.
Okay. Anne says, my trainer has me walking at 3.6 miles per hour for 4 minutes, 1 minute at 4.6 miles per hour, then 2 minutes at 3.6 miles per hour. For a total of 4 sets, then a cool down of 4 minutes. Would you modify that?
Yeah, I would modify that. I want 10-second sprints, 10 to 20-second sprints. That's what does it. And less pushing yourself on the long-term work. The long-term work walking doesn't do as much as it's the intensity. Just look at it just conceptually here. Just understand that if a tiger was chasing you, your body would want to be thin. So what in that workout is a response to a tiger chasing you? There's nothing in that workout that's a response to a tiger chasing you. So that's what you need. You need that. All the other stuff is warm up and cool down is fluff, and it can be longer or shorter depending on your preferences and whatever your trainers are doing with you. But if you don't have the stress of a tiger chasing you, or you chasing a tiger, or one of the other things, or chasing something, if you don't have that stress, you're not giving your body a reason to be thin for survival reasons. And that's why your body would lose weight, is for survival reasons, not for anything else.
Thank you. Okay. Marisol's question, I kind of relate to this one too because I love to dance. What does John think about something like a Zumba class? I love dancing for this hour, but not sure if it's too long of an intense period, a time period. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, no, if it's fun, do it. That's the number one rule of thumb, is if it's fun, do it. And if it's too long, you'll know if it's too long because you'll feel it. But in general, overtraining is not so much related to the specific exercise that you're doing for that day. It's more related to how frequently you exercise. So if you want to exercise longer, like an hour or 2 hours, if you want to go for a long bike ride, whatever it is, that's okay as long as you're giving yourself 2 or 3 days rest. Where you run into trouble is if you're doing Zumba 7 days a week, you're going to overtrain. If you're doing Zumba 3 or 4 days a week and you're loving it and you're still loving it all the time, that's beautiful.
Okay. So, sorry.
I might get back to the core lesson, and then we'll come back and answer questions at the end, if that's okay, Dan. Dan? Okay, we lost you, Dan. Anyway,
Dan, come back. Yes, thanks, John. Sorry, thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, we'll bring you in a little while. Okay, so I'll just talk about, so the way I got started with exercise, keep in mind, I didn't exercise the first 6 months of my weight loss. But I started to develop more energy exactly as I'm talking about here in this process. So I pretty much lived this same process that I'm working through with you guys, only for me it was a longer process. But for the first 6 months, I didn't do any exercise until I was down to probably 350 pounds or something like that. And then I started on a stationary bike, which a stationary bike is ideal for someone that's really heavy because you can control the amount of output. You don't have to be anywhere. You don't have to balance a bike. You don't have to worry about breaking a bike. I had all these issues. So I was on a stationary bike. I'd do it first thing in the morning. As soon as I got up, I'd warm up for 5 minutes before I was even awake. I had been on the bike for 5 minutes. I'd warm up. Then I'd do like 10-second sprints, maybe one a minute or one every 2 minutes, and then I'd have a 5-minute cool down. So that whole process was about 15 minutes worth of exercise, and then I do 5 minutes of upper body strength training. So upper body strength training, like push-ups and chin-ups, or modified chin-ups, obviously, or weightlifting type of things. Upper body strength training really, really complements the intensity sprint type of exercise for a number of reasons. When you do upper body strength training, what happens is the cells of your muscles become more sensitive to insulin. The reason why your cells of your muscles become more sensitive to insulin is it's a little bit like a sponge. So if you look at your muscles have stored sugar, which is called glycogen, which is the stored form of sugar in your muscles. And when you exercise, it's like you're wringing the muscle out of the stored glycogen the same way you would wring a sponge out of water. And then when you let the sponge go, it wants to suck up water. So when your muscles have no more glycogen in them, they want to suck up sugar. And in order to suck up sugar, they have to be very sensitive to insulin. So by breaking your muscles down through strength training, your muscles then become more sensitive to insulin, want to suck up sugar. It stabilizes your blood sugar, it reverses insulin resistance, and it helps your body regain the ability to burn fat. So it's a great complement. So the sprint work helps you become more leptin resistant because it helps your body want to be thin, and the strength training helps get your muscles to become more insulin resistant. That combination of reversing leptin insulin resistance and insulin resistance is the perfect combination for losing weight. That's when you do that, you have lost weight. So that combination of doing a little bit of exercise, doing a little bit of cycling, as I did there, and then some strength training, then that's a perfect combination. So in this one, maybe you go for a bike ride outdoors. Eventually, I got to the point where I could ride outdoors. And when I rode outdoors, whenever I was going up a hill, I would start sprinting. And then eventually, I started doing visualization combining with that. And that's sprinting. And also, when you're going up a hill, there's some upper body strength training when you're standing up. So riding a bike is one of my favorites. It's not very it's low compression also, which is great when you're carrying extra weight. So it's a great kind of type of workout to do. Now, the best type of workout to do, as Marisol touched on with her question, is playing. Anything that you love doing is really the best type of exercise. If you love doing it, you're going to do it more often. You can't wait to do it. If you're in the park with your kids, you know there's no better exercise, and I mean this, than playing than chasing your kids in a park. I used to, when I was losing weight, I'd go for my bike ride and my exercise, and then I'd take my kid to the park, and I'd sit on the park bench like a lox while she was running around and climbing on the bars and all this type of thing. She'd be wanting me to play, and I'd say, no, I'm too exhausted. Eventually, I figured out that there's nothing better than sprinting, because you're chasing, you're activating the get thin or get eaten, so she's chasing you, you're chasing her, and then you're climbing on the bars, so you got the strength training, you got the periodic intensity. It's all perfect exercise. Playing in the park with children is the number one best exercise you could possibly do, in my opinion. Running with pets also is really great. Team sports, when you've got the soccer ball, you're not thinking about how fast you're sprinting. You just want to outrun your opponent, and so you're moving really, really quickly, and so your brain gets the idea that maybe you need to be thin for whatever the survival thing is that's going on with the game. It doesn't understand the game, but it understands the intensity, and so the intensity is great. Martial arts is a really good type of exercise that complements this work, because it makes you feel safer, right? It's a simple thing. So really the whole point of all the stuff we're doing is trying to make you feel safer, physically safer, emotionally safer. If you do some martial arts, doesn't take long to do before you get this feeling that if somebody were to come up and put their hands on you, you could scrunch their hand, break their wrist, punch them in the face, kick them in the shins. Whatever it is, you practice these things enough, and there's a level of comfort. And God forbid no one's going to come up and actually touch you, but that's not the real issue. The real issue is that we're afraid of that. And so if you get to the place where you're not afraid of it anymore because you have just some basic 6 months worth of martial arts training, then you're in a really good shape. You're in a really good place, and it not only helps you activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation and get your body to want to be thin, it helps make you feel safer from emotional stresses, which is tremendous also for creating that shift in your set point and getting your body to want to be thin. dancing around the house, dancing, just having fun, having joy, play with exercise. That's the first suggestion that I would have. Once you're starting to feel more active and have more energy, get out and play. Another really great one is adrenaline sports, becoming a thrill seeker. Because when you're doing something thrilling and exciting, like skydiving or bungee cord jumping, which, by the way, I don't do either of those things, so I'm not saying you have to do that in order to follow the Gabriel method, but something that's exciting, going on a hot air balloon, just something that gets your adrenaline pumping periodically, not too much, because as we all know, when your adrenaline's pumping all the time from chronic stress, it overworks your adrenals, you become exhausted. But when you've reduced your stress, and you have more energy, and then doing a periodic thing that excites you, like jumping out of a plane or a bungee cord jumping, or even becoming a stand-up comic, or kayaking through the rapids, just something exciting like that, will create the same acute stress that gets your body to want to be thin. I remember Ozzy Osbourne's son, was a heavyset teenager, and he discovered extreme sports, and overnight he lost 40 pounds, and he created this reality show where he went and did different extreme sports. So extreme sports are a good bang for the buck, because you don't have to do a lot of, it doesn't take a lot of effort, right? To do bungee cord jumping doesn't take a lot of effort, obviously. It just takes a lot of chutzpah, a lot of energy, a lot of nerve, so to speak. And like I say, these are not things that I do on a regular basis, so I'm not saying this is what you have to do. But if you do have that inclination toward exciting sports, keep in mind that's a great, great way to activate the get thinner, get even adaptation. After you're done an exercise session, you shouldn't be starving. You shouldn't be so exhausted that you just have to eat and eat and eat. You should feel calm, centered, pumped up, your blood's flowing, your muscles are toned, and just a general feeling of good. If you're at that place where you're exhausted and famished, you've gone a little bit too far. So one of the best times to exercise is first thing in the morning for a couple of reasons. The hormones, like growth hormone and some of the fat-burning hormones, are elevated then, so it's a good time to exercise. Also, it becomes a habit much easier. I find anything you do first thing in the morning, you're more likely to create a habit, because if you're doing it at the end of the day, maybe you'll do it, maybe you won't. 100 things could get in the way, but you do it first thing in the morning, there's less things that can get in the way. So if you can at all, exercise in the morning. But other than that, exercise whenever you can, and then create a habit based on that. Maybe it's every other day at 3 o'clock, you go to the gym, whatever the exercise is. So let's talk about the action steps for this week to apply the principles of get thin or get eaten into your life, to create this positive stress that makes your body want to be thin. The first thing, once again, I want to say is that this may not be the right time for you. It might be a couple of months before this week's core lesson is appropriate for you. That's fine. But if you feel like it is the right time for you, or if you're exercising already and you want to modify your exercise routine to incorporate these GM principles, then I would suggest that you listen to the visualization that we have in the members area called the Get Thin or Get Eaten visualization, where you visualize your ideal sport, you visualize going to the gym, you visualize being chased or running after something. It's all done in a light, spirited way. It's not like a terrifying tiger chasing you. You're smiling when it's happening in the visualization, so we don't want to get you into a terror mode, but we want to create the association that that's the reason why you're moving so fast. I would suggest that whatever exercise you do decide to do, if you want to do exercise this week, you visualize yourself doing it the night before, and then you also visualize yourself doing it in the morning. So in the night before, if you're going to go to the gym at 3 o'clock the next day, visualize yourself driving to the gym, going to the gym, changing, having a great workout, feeling great, the weight melting off your body. Then do that again in the morning. And it only has to take 30 seconds to do that. But use visualization as a tool for creating the habit of going to the gym or doing whatever exercise that you're doing. So those are the only two things that I want to incorporate into this week's action steps. And then we'll just review the ongoing action steps, which are drinking a glass of water with lemon or apple cider vinegar and a probiotic in the morning, or just regular water with a probiotic. Drinking a green juice if you can upon rising or late in the afternoon. Taking a morning probiotic supplement. That's a little bit redundant because it's in the one before that, but you get the picture. Take a probiotic. Eat a eat a blood sugar balancing breakfast. That means it's got some protein, it's got some omega-3, it's got some live food, like our recipe book and like the, a lot of the recipes that we talk about. So it'll keep your blood sugar stable and nourish you for hours so that you don't get drunk food cravings at 11 or 12 o'clock, so that you can make good meal choices the rest of the day. In which case, you're eating frequent Gabriel method friendly meals throughout the day, so a healthy lunch. If you can, add a salad and some animal protein and maybe some chia seeds if you can to your meal. Have a snack in the afternoon. Take an afternoon stress reduction break. Maybe listen to a visualization in the afternoon, or go for a walk in nature. Or if you can do some Tai Chi or yoga, that's great. Drink lots of water in between meals, so maybe a glass of water before each meal, or drink a glass of water every hour, but just keep your body flush with water. Listen to the evening visualization. Those are the action steps for the week, and that concludes the core lesson for this webinar. We will stay on and answer some questions. Otherwise, have an awesome week. Do listen to the interview that I did with Coach Brian on the Tabata method and different types of exercise to activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation, and continue more than anything to listen to the visualizations. Be patient. Understand that you're creating a foundation on your body to create a hormonal shift that makes your body want to be thin. And when that happens, your body loses weight easily and naturally. So thanks very much for listening. You're welcome to stay on for the question and answers. Otherwise, I'll speak to you real soon. Thanks. So let's bring Dan in, and we'll just answer a few questions. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Monica says, I overtrained pretty extremely for about a decade, but now I have been tired and only trained occasionally for 12 years. Is there anything I need to do to fix this? Many of the women that were crazy athletes with me in the 90s also on constant low-fat diets and now overweight. I used to think it was because we all burned out our vitamin A and adrenals. Now I wonder if there is a different reason and if this is a factor in my 130-pound weight gain.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of things that happen. When you do that level of exercise, your body adapts to it, your body becomes accustomed to it, and then when you stop doing it, it creates a problem because your body's used to a certain level of input of food, and it's used to managing your blood sugar a certain way based on the exercise that you're doing. So it is important for you to do some exercise, but you need to do it in a way that incorporates these principles. So I would say start really, really slowly. And yes, there's no question that this is what's causing. Also, a low-fat diet is a really bad thing to be having. When you're doing that for anyone, especially when you're doing that level of exercise, fat is so essential. But the right kind of fat, and we've talked a lot about that. But I would suggest that you start just real slow and easy with 10-minute exercises 3 times a week, and work your way up to a place where you're having more energy and where it's not as intimidating for your body, and your body's getting stronger. So start really, really slow, and just with like 10 minutes 3 days a week, and let's see where we go and how it goes over the next month or so.
Okay, thanks, John. Audrey says, can you give us advice for preparing ourselves for the long run? This is a 5-week course, but I suspect I will need 2 years like John took, since I have 200-plus pounds to lose.
Right, so what we're doing, if you notice, and if you look on the screen right now, there's the ongoing action steps. So what we're doing is we're creating action steps that are going to create habits that, hopefully, if you do the action steps all along the 5 weeks, at the end of the 5 weeks, these are going to be habits that are going to last you forever. And you don't need to do anything more than these habits. So once the 5-week course is over, you just follow the action steps that are laid out that have become habits for you, and it'll carry you for the whole rest of the 2-year period that you need to lose weight. That's the idea. That's why I say this course is not about losing 40 pounds in 40 days. This course is about laying the groundwork so that you will create a hormonal shift in your body that will allow your body to shift its set point and lose weight and want to be thin on a sustainable basis. So we're doing all these things that ongoing, if you have these habits on an ongoing basis, you're healing your digestion so you don't have that inflammatory response or in problem. You're nourishing your body so you don't have that stress. You're dealing with mental and emotional stress so you don't have that problem. You're activating the get thin or get eaten adaptation. You're doing all these things, and over a 2-year period, if that's the amount of time that you need, nothing more has to happen, nothing more than the action steps that we're doing right now. So it's a really good question. That's why the action steps are the most important part of this 5-week course.
Okay? Thanks, John. Yeah. Maureen says, how does yoga fit in? Is it more for meditation? What about weight training? I'm 54 and have been told that I need to do weight training to maintain bone mass.
Yes. Yeah, so weight training, we talked about weight training in this core lesson. So weight training is strength training. We talked about how it helps reverse insulin resistance, build up muscle fibers, and how I would incorporate the weight training into the get thin or get eaten adaptation type of work that we talked about in the class. Specifically, if we look at stationary bike with a warm-up of 5 minutes, then some 10-second on and off sprints, then a cool down, then 5 minutes of strength training. That's really what we're talking about here. I incorporate strength training. Now, yoga is for stress reduction. Yoga also helps increase your energy level. So yoga is beautiful for that. It does not activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation, but it does 100% contribute to weight loss through the stress reduction benefits.
Okay, thank you. Sharon says, if you know you are working on emotional triggers and digestive issues at the moment and you're not inspired to exercise, I have a gym at work. If there is a moment when it seems like a good break, should I do the 10 minutes on the bike with a few 10 to 20 second sprints? It shouldn't hurt, should it?
No, it depends on how you feel. Okay, so if you're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed and just tired and you just want to rest and cranky and all this stuff, it means that you need to rest, you need to process. But if you're feeling like that's something you could do and that'll make you feel good, and especially if it makes you feel good afterwards, by all means do it.
Okay, thank you. Laurie says, I need to exercise in the morning, which, as you said earlier, is the best time to do it anyway. Should I eat breakfast first or wait till after the workout? And should I do workouts?
Go ahead. Finish your question.
And should I do the workouts you're suggesting on the same day as I do a session of Pilates?
Yes, I think you should have rest days and exercise days. So I want solid rest days. I want 1 to 2 solid rest days in between exercises. Solid rest. You can do light stretching, but nothing that's strength or getting your heart beating. I want solid rest days. You can do light walking too if it's just for fun and just to be active. But from exercise, I want intensity and then solid rest. And then what was the first part of the question? I now forgot it.
Should she have breakfast before or after workout?
It is better to exercise before breakfast than after, but they're both good.
Okay. Maricel says, I love this idea of the get thin or get eaten intervals of 10 seconds of being chased simulation. Not sure how often to inject these 10 seconds within a workout. Can John give us an example of a 10-minute workout on an elliptical machine?
Try it every two minutes for either every 2 minutes for a 10-minute period, like once every 2 minutes, so say 10 to 20 seconds at once every 2 minutes. There's something, by the way, Maricel, and everyone's listening, there's a specific protocol called a Tabata protocol, which talks about exercise, doing it 20 seconds on, 40 seconds off for 4 minutes. So you might want to try the Tabata protocol. For me personally, it's more like I'll do a 10 second to 20 second sprint every 1 to 2 minutes over a 10-minute period.
Okay.
So that's sort of what the Tabata protocol really is. Not something that you have to live by. It's just what this guy put together and found the benefits of. But anyone that uses these principles, whether it's every 40 seconds or every 2 minutes, whatever, they're still going to get the benefits. So for me personally, I do 10 to 20 second intensity every minute or 2 minutes over a 5 to 10 minute period.
Okay. Well, Maricel says, I have access to the GM fitness videos with Brian, and I love how it is broken down into 15-minute exercises. Are these good to follow 2 to 3 times per week?
Yeah, so the GM fitness exercises that we did with Brian followed the Tabata protocol, which he's going to be talking about in 2 days, and they are ideal.
Okay. And now Pippa's asked a question which you have already discussed, but I thought maybe just in case she's missed the beginning of this class, she has absolutely no motivation to move, not even to do the 10 minutes yoga a day. Should I try or am I not quite ready, as it seems low-grade depression has been triggered since last week's session classes?
You definitely aren't ready. Just give yourself time to process.
Okay.
It could be months, could be weeks, could be months. I don't know what you're going through. You'll know, but you're definitely not ready.
Susan says, should we be doing the visualization this week? No, sorry. She says, I missed what John said. Should we be doing the visualization this week and only exercise if we feel ready, or should we only do the visualization if we feel ready? But that's kind of been answered. So
it's a good question. So basically what I said was this week's morning visualization is the get thin or get eaten at a visualization. I would do that visualization only if you feel like it's ready to start, time to start exercising. Otherwise, use any of the other visualizations that you gravitate toward as a morning visualization. Very good point.
Okay. Melissa says, if we don't deal with all the emotional problems, will we not see results? And will we just know if we have dealt with everything?
Yeah, so it doesn't, it depends. You don't necessarily have to deal with everything. It depends on what the stresses and triggers are that are causing your weight gain. It is important to work in all directions because it could be more of a digestion issue for you. It could be a nutritional issue. So there could be a lot of different things. And there's no one right answer for that, but doing the work in all of these different directions, working on emotions and healing your digestion, et cetera, will touch on the right issue for you and help you. And for most of us, they're all so related. Stress causes causes digestion problems. Digestion problems causes emotional problems. Emotional problems cause digestion problems. It's all very interrelated. So you don't have to get focused on that. It actually absolutely has to be worked through. It's a process, and everybody reacts differently, but at a certain point, your body's chemistry, based on doing so many different positive things, adapts so that it becomes much easier to burn fat.
Okay. Just one more question from Amy. Yep. The doctors say, I can't do weights because of having high blood pressure. What other options do I have?
Well, check with your doctor on that, but you should still be able to walk fast, as we talked about. I would take any of the principles that we talk about, push-ups, sit-ups, moving fast, any of these things, make sure you can do it with your doctor. And if you can't, what I would do is I would just do some real gentle movements that your doctor lets you do, and then check back in a few months to see how your blood pressure is, because blood pressure is very, very reversible. I had ridiculously high blood pressure at one time, very reversible. So there's a really good chance that in a few months your blood pressure will be down to normal and you'll get your doctor's blessing. So I would say do whatever exercise your doctor allows you to do now, but check back on your blood pressure. Okay?
Okay, thanks, John. Right. Actually, no, Maricel's asking a question. Sorry. Sorry.
Sometimes Maricel's typing in a question.
Yeah. Sometimes I cannot exercise until I get my kids off to school. So with regards to breakfast, what is more important, eating within an hour of waking or exercising first before eating? Okay. I wake around 7 a.m. and sometimes don't get around to eating until 9 a.m. because of the morning grind.
It's more important to eat your breakfast, Maricel. You got to keep your blood sugar stable.
Yeah. Joanne says, I have a question regarding food. Is it all right if she asks that now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, Joanne.
It's all real time now, huh?
Yeah, I know. Okay. Poor old Shan's typing away furiously.
Oh, Shannon's typing.
Okay. Yeah. No, all right, I might ask another question that I've got here. A benefit of exercise is the release of endorphins. What is the minimum intensity and time needed to get the greatest benefit?
I don't know the minimum intensity or time that you need to get the benefit, but you definitely do feel an endorphin release from intensity exercise pretty quickly. So I know I feel it when I do my exercise, but you feel it when the endorphins are released. And as far as it sounds to me like we're pretty caught up on questions, Dan. So any other questions that are coming in, we can answer on the forums. So just make a note of them, and then we'll answer them. So it's good to hear that we're getting caught up finally on the questions.
Yeah.
All really, really great questions. I've never worked with a group before that was so active and had so many amazing, thoughtful questions. So it's a challenge for us, and we're doing the best we can. But it sounds like we're caught up. And in the meantime, do listen to the webinar that we have with Brian in 48 hours and on the Tabata protocol and on other exercise methods. And keep going. Any other questions, ask us in the forum. We do have an Ask John next week. Next week's our final core lesson, and then we have an Ask John a few days later. And in the meantime, have an awesome, awesome week, and I will speak to you all real soon. Thanks very much. Take care.